Well, good morning again and happy Easter. We celebrate the Christ is risen. Gosh, y'all are like still paying attention. This is great. Well, hopefully we can keep that going. So as Brad was talking about the candy, I got to admit that the best way that I know of to take care of peeps is to find a trash can near you. But, you know, more power to you, Brad. You can have all the peeps from my house. But I was thinking about candy, and I was thinking about when I was growing up, the time that we would always do the Easter egg hunt in the community that I was a part of was the day before Easter. And so I remember one year going to an Easter egg hunt. This is one of my earliest memories of Easter. And I remember that it was not my church. It was a family member's church, and I found the golden egg. And my earliest memory of Easter is being there at that Easter egg hunt, and I just remember the look of all the parents who were like, who is this kid who got the golden egg, who showed up, who invited him? Like, how did he get it? And I just remember, like, this judgment being upon me for getting the golden egg. And so years later, I got ready to preach the very first time on Easter. I'm so nervous. Like, I don't even know how I was thinking, I'm just like, I got to get through this message. I got to get through everything I'm supposed to say, but I'm going to tell this fun story about the time I found the golden egg and felt so guilty that I got the golden egg. And so I tell the story, and I'm like, you know, it's the day before Easter. We're doing our Easter egg hunt. And then after the service, this lady that I had known for years, her daughter and I had gone to high school together, she comes up to me and she goes, Anthony, do you know what you said? Now, there are a few things you can say to me that will make my heart sink faster than looking at me and going, do you know what you said? Because my mind went a million different directions when she said those words. It's like, oh no, what did I say? She said, Anthony, you said you used to hunt for Easter eggs the day before Christmas every year. I didn't say that. It was the day before Easter. She said, Anthony, you said it 5 times in about 30 seconds. Memories. I love the things that we remember about Easter. I remember being a part of an Easter sunrise service many years ago, and you might have heard this story before. I love this story. They used the same worship order for this sunrise service since probably the first Easter, like, you know, the year after Jesus raises from the grave. They're like, we're going to do a sunrise service to commemorate it. They're still following the same order of worship, and they had this one song they always did, Up From the Grave He Arose, and I didn't know it. I didn't grow up with that song, but they knew it, and they were going to sing it the way that they knew it, and so I had to learn this song, and then I showed up, and I realized that the way that I had learned it was not the way that they were going to sing it. And we were going to sing it the way that they were going to sing it. And so they sang it in like this slow funeral dirge, low in the grave. And then when it got to the chorus, Up From the Grave He Arose, it was like this bluegrass hoedown thing going on. And I'm just like trying to keep up. And I'm playing guitar and trying to keep up with it. And I remember that so vividly. And I remember walking back into the church. It was a Easter sunrise service that was out on the front lawn. And I'm walking back into the church. And there's this guy who is on his third cup of Maxwell House coffee. And he is super chipper. And he's got the Christ is risen, like, greeting as we're all walking in to go to this big breakfast. And I just remember somebody, a few people behind me going, not this early, he ain't. I mean, just like, you know, these are the things we remember about Easter. We have memories of Easter. I remember when I was growing up, it wasn't really a big deal to take pictures, but there came a time when we realized that there may not be many more Easters with some of the people that we wanted to be in that picture. We took this picture. This was before Emma and I had kids. We had a dog who at that point could fit in Emma's arms. That didn't last long. And, you know, there are a couple of people in there that this was the last time that we were able to take a picture with them smiling and joyful and jubilant. And some of those people in that picture, they're not around anymore. Some of the hairs on my head are not around anymore. I mean, things have changed. But you look back on that, and those are the memories you want to keep and the memories you want to treasure. And memory is such a powerful part of the Easter story. There's memory woven within it. not only are people called to remember certain details within the story, but it's hearkening back to a story that has been building up until this point. And so when people remember in the Easter story, it's not just about what happens there at the empty tomb. It's remembering back to the promises that have been made. It's remembering back to the things that Jesus said about himself. It's remembering back to the promise that there would be a Savior, that there would be a Messiah that would come to redeem all of God's people. And that memory is embedded within this story. And it's not the memories of Easter egg hunts the day before Christmas. It's not the memory of sunrise services way too early in the morning. It's not even the memory of pictures with your family gathered around, which I hope you do today. But there are memories within this story that are about God changing lives and God changing the world. Within the story, there's a little phrase, and every time I come back to the Easter story, I'm like, gosh, you know, Lord, where do you want me to focus, Lord? What is it in this passage that you want people to hear this year? And I came up with two words. There were two words, and I'm going to read them to you. I know Emily already read the scripture, but I'm going to read part of it again. Luke chapter 24, I'm going to pick up in verse 5. It says, "In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered. Then they remembered. I wonder what that moment was like for them to remember. I mean, we can be forgetful. There are some things that we can forget. I imagine that one day they're sitting down to write the Gospels and they go, okay, Jesus told this parable about different kinds of soil. Were there four? Were there five? Yeah, I remember three, actually. Well, and you know, those are things that you might forget the details of. They might have had a debate on, did this miracle happen in Capernaum or did it happen over in Nazareth? I can't remember. It was one of those places in Galilee. I can't remember exactly. These are the kinds of things that you might forget. They forgot the fact that Jesus said he was going to rise from the grave. But then they remembered. They had forgotten, but then they remembered. We too can be forgetful. I think back to things that I've read in the scriptures, things that I've heard Jesus say, and I've been forgetful before. You probably have too. There's a scripture in the Psalms that says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made," but there are sometimes I look in the mirror and go, I get the fearful part, but the wonderful part I'm not so sure of today. I forget. I forget who I am and who God created me to be. There are commands that Jesus gave, like love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes my neighbor is hard to love, and I forget what Jesus has said. There are times that I think back to the passage where Paul is writing in the New Testament to a church in Philippi, and he says, "Don't be anxious about anything." Oh, that's a really easy one to forget. We forget those things. But how did they forget that Jesus said he was going to die and be raised again? But they don't stay there. They remembered. The question for us today is, what does Easter call us to remember? What is it in the Easter story that we are called to remember? What is it that God wants to speak to us? What is it that we see within this story that when we remember it, the story takes on a new life? When we remember it, there is power and transformation for our lives. There are just a few things that I think show up in this story. There's this idea of remembrance. It's all throughout the scriptures. It doesn't start with Jesus and the resurrection. Remembrance goes all the way back to the beginning. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, it says this: "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." As Moses was telling them that they should observe the Sabbath, they could have a day each week that they are going to rest. The foundation of it is that they are to remember that God had delivered them, that they once had been slaves. And we too need to remember our deliverance. We need to remember our deliverance. The story of Easter calls upon us to remember our deliverance. Because when we remember that Jesus said that he was going to die on the cross, be handed over to be tortured and crucified, and that he was going to raise on the third day, that was not just a story about a miracle taking place. That was a story about delivering and redeeming people. And we need to remember our deliverance. We think about our deliverance, and maybe you've got a deliverance story. I know for me, I will tell the story over and over and over again. It is my testimony. It is what God has done in my life. I will tell people about how, before I knew Jesus, I lived and I desired the approval of other people. I was willing to do whatever it took in terms of giving into the vices of the world, as long as it meant that other people would love me and affirm me. But it always left me empty. And when I encountered Jesus, when I gave my life over to Christ, I was freed from my sins, I left them behind, and I was delivered. And I will celebrate that deliverance. I will celebrate the goodness of what God has done in my life. I think about other things that have happened, not just salvation. I think about and I remember what God has done for me and in me and through me. I think back to a season when I was a college student and I got so burned out. I was just ready to walk away from my faith. I was ready to give up on church. And then there was this little small group of people that met together in a college apartment living room. And they just sat around and they loved on me. They encouraged me. And through that, God brought me through and delivered me. Some of you, maybe you live out of town and you're visiting with us today, or maybe you're in town and you haven't been here in a while, but something happened in my life about 6 weeks ago, standing right here. I had a little medical episode, had to go to the hospital. This wasn't Tuesday afternoon in the office. It was right here in front of everyone on a Sunday morning. And I had to be helped out of this place. And I look back on that, and I see God's hand upon each and every point of that story. I think about my friend who lives up in the Northeast, who sent me a text later that day and said, God put you on my heart at 3:00 this morning, and I started praying for you. Just for some reason, out of the blue, started praying for you. I got messages from people literally all over the world, all over our community saying, we've been praying for you, we've been lifting you up, and the Lord brought me through it. The Lord brought me to the other side of it. I will remember my deliverance. I will remember what God has done through the support of other people and what God has done in the midst of my life and bringing me out of that. We remember our deliverance. We remember our story. We remember where we have been. And for the people of God, they kept going back to the story. They kept going back to see, this is what God has done in my life. This is how God has delivered me. And that call, remember you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord led you out of there, that call repeats over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament. And then you get to the New Testament, and what does Jesus lead them through right before he faces the cross? He says, let's remember the story of God's deliverance. Let's remember the Passover. And there in the midst of that festival, he was crucified for their sins. He became their Passover lamb. Remember your deliverance. As we turn back to the story in Luke, we see these words in verse 6. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you. This is a story not of death and finality. This is a story of life. This is a story of redemption. This is not just a story of deliverance and being set free from something. This is an invitation into a new life. Because what we see is that when Jesus raises from the grave, It is not just that he raises from the grave in this incredible miracle. It offers to us the extension of life. We need to remember your life. We need to remember the life that has been given to us through Jesus. The incredible thing about the resurrection, the power of this story, the thing we have to remember and come back to over and over and over again is remembering that this is not just about Jesus rising from the grave. This is about new life given to each and every one of us. Death was considered the final chapter. Death was considered the end. And if Jesus can overcome death and he can rise from the grave as the first of the resurrection, we too are invited into that to experience that new life, to experience the goodness that's given to us. And so we remember the life that has been given to us, our deliverance, the life that is given to us. We also are called to not just stay there. We keep going in the faith. We keep going, and as we remember the story of Easter, we remember that we are invited into a life of resurrection. Jesus, in talking to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 26, he says these words to them. He says that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is there leading and guiding our lives to help us remember, to help us remember what Jesus has called us to do, and we go and we live it out in that way. In the letter to Colossians, Paul, one of the New Testament writers, he is explaining the power of the resurrection, what happens to us as a result of Jesus rising from the grave, and he says these words in Colossians chapter 3, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." In other words, we are to remember not only the life that we've been given, but the instructions that flow out of it. That if we have been redeemed, if we have been raised with Christ, if we have new life in Jesus, we are called to live our lives in a different kind of way. And that means that we are set free from the bondage of this world. We are delivered from the pattern of sin and sinfulness, and we are invited instead to put our hearts and our hope in the life that Jesus has for us. It is a life that is filled with hope and with peace. And this whole idea is just about remembering who we are. The Easter story calls us back and invites us, just as the women who were at the tomb were standing there, and then it was like, they remembered. They remembered. There was something they were supposed to remember, and that remembrance brought the story to life to them. When they remembered, it wasn't just about remembering, oh yeah, he did say he was going to rise from the grave. They're like, oh, we remember, and that changes everything in the story. We remember that Jesus not only foretold this, but it actually happened. We remember, and our lives and the world are never going to be the same. And so they take that message and they go and they share it, and it becomes this domino effect of ultimate extreme power, and all of a sudden people are proclaiming their deliverance. They are proclaiming that Jesus has come to set them free from their sins, that Jesus has come to offer his life and to give grace to all who would put their faith in him. Jesus has come so that they can remember that God is a God of love who has extended his grace and his mercy to them through Jesus, and they can remember that through the resurrection, there is new life that is given to each and every one of us. They remembered. And sometimes we need to remember, don't we? We need to remember that this isn't a story about something that happened. This is a story about something that calls us to live into and to celebrate that new life. And I think of it a little bit like this. There was a talk given by Sir Ken Robinson. It was on education. It was a part of a TED Talk series. And he gave this beautiful metaphor about Death Valley. If you're familiar with Death Valley over in California, it's one of the hottest places on earth, one of the driest, deadest places on earth. And this is what it looks like. I mean, it's just kind of like a desert area. And, you know, it's got some natural beauty to it. But it is called Death Valley because nothing grows there. Nothing grows there. You can see some kind of some dead shrubbery through there, but nothing really grows there. And so everyone calls it Death Valley because nothing can really live there. Except for in the winter of 2004, they unexpectedly got rain. They never get rain, but they got 7 inches of rain in a very short time span. And then something incredible happened a few months later. In the spring of 2005, they experienced what was called a super bloom. All of a sudden, Death Valley is transformed, not into that slide, but to the one before it. Death Valley is transformed into this beautiful landscape of flowers. Incredible life emerging out of death. And here's what Sir Robinson said about this. He says, it turns out Death Valley wasn't dead after all. It was just dormant. There were seeds of possibility underneath the surface, just waiting to be nourished and brought to life. And here's my hope for us as people who come to this story and are invited, just like the women at the tomb, to remember. Remember, this is a story about bringing to life what might seem to be dead in you. Is your faith dead? Does it feel as though it's something that's distant that God needs to bring back to life? Is your hope lost? Are you just feeling that sense of despair and that anxiety and that burden? Is God calling you to remember that you can put all of those burdens in his hands and celebrate the life that's been given to you? Is your faith ready to emerge out of the surface and to bloom into new life? Because this is what we're called to remember in the Easter story. When we are invited to remember, we are invited to remember that resurrection is something that keeps happening. Resurrection is where there are always seeds of possibility. There is always hope. There is always life just waiting to emerge. And it happens over and over again as people experience the new life, as they experience deliverance, as they experience transformation, as they experience the goodness of God taking over their lives and setting them free into a new path for their life. And maybe this morning you walked in feeling a little bit like Death Valley. Just we did everything we could just to get here and find out that all the seats were taken. But I hope you leave with your flowers blooming forth, remembering that as we have sung and we have proclaimed, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. As we have sung that he is our living hope, as we have declared that he is the King of Kings, as we have celebrated what this story is all about, it's an invitation to a resurrection that keeps happening, that new life that keeps coming forth. Don't ever forget. Go back to that empty tomb. Gaze upon the beauty of that mystery and what that mystery means for you. And remember. Lord God, we come to you today and we admit that we can be forgetful people. We can miss the plot. We can miss the point. We can miss where you have called for us to just live into the life that you have for us, to live into the joy that you have for us. And sometimes we try to take control of it on our own, and we try to do it our own way, and it leads us to feeling like we are walking through the valley of death. Lord, I pray that this morning we would leave here renewed and rejuvenated and remembering the life that you offer to each and every one of us. May it bloom in us. May it bloom through us. And may it become the sign that we share with all the world that when we encounter others, they see the hope of the new life living within us through you. We pray that as we close this service, as we celebrate your goodness, as we crown and exalt Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I pray that every single person here if they have not already, that today they would surrender their lives to that gift of new life that is offered to us through Jesus. May we do as Paul said in Colossians, put to death the sinful nature, put to death the earthly nature, and instead surrender our lives and put our hearts set on things above. I pray that for anyone who needs to experience your grace, that this time as we close this service, as we sing again, that they would just simply put their trust and their hope in you, just confessing out loud that Jesus Christ is Lord, believing in their hearts and receiving that gift of eternal life. For we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, the one we remember came, died, and rose again. Amen.